I'll be happy to send it to you also. Thanks.
Okay, everybody, the meeting is being recorded. This is Ray Fassett, the chair of the meeting. It is April 1st, 2009. Glenn, could you please do a roll call of who's on the call?
With pleasure. We have on the call Ray Fassett, who is the leader of this group, Ron Andrus from the business constituency, Wolf Knoben from the ISPC, and from staff, we have Rob Hogarth, Julie Headland, and Glenda Saint-Jury.
Thank you, Glenn.
Hi, Rob is here. Hello?
Joab has just joined this moment.
Yeah.
He is a registrar.
Welcome, Joab.
Hi.
Okay, Ray Fassett here. I'll give a brief update. We've had one call up to now as a work team. It was 1 week ago today. As a plan of attack on that call, and I'll be brief, I chose to look at the existing GNSO rules of procedure document to see as that did fall under our jurisdiction, to see where we could look at that document to advance our overall mission of having the GNSO Council act as a administrator of policy rather than a legislative body. Now, what happened soon after the close of that meeting was my finding out that there's actually quite a bit of work going on with ICANN staff with regards to the rules of procedure document and how it interplays with the bylaws, the ICANN bylaws, because there is an association between those two documents, and then how the results of the inner working of those two documents may then affect our work team. So, to make a long story short, there are sections with the rules of procedure document that Julie and I believe Rob are looking at, and Ken Bauer, and they will, as they go through and identify certain areas that seem to fit within our purview, they will edit some of those sections of the rules of procedure document, submit them to us as a work team to then review, comment, and offer our opinion of any additional edits or changes or what it is they're thinking exactly. Now, Julie, have I captured that fairly well?
Yes, I think so, Ray. Can I just interrupt to ask, Wolf, could you please give me your email? I realize I don't have it, and I do want to send you that charter.
Okay, the email is Knoben, my name, Knoben W.
I send it to you, Julie.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Jen.
But yes, Ray, you're correct, I think.
Great, thank you. So what that means for today, I think, is and actually what Yoav had suggested in the last meeting was to focus the group's attention, the work team's attention now back over to this charter document. Which is, we do have a versus the other work teams. So relatively speaking, we do have a little bit more of a sense of urgency to complete our charter, to assist the other work teams in completing their charters and their work. So hopefully we are able to have this document up, the most recent document in the wiki is where I'm talking. Because I've noticed, again, the fine work, the support work that we're getting from Julie and Rob and others, there is down there, if you scroll down a little bit on the page, there is a priority action items list.
Right, could you do me a favor? This is Ken. Could you send me the link to the wiki, please, if possible?
Absolutely. In fact, Julie...
I'll send it to Ken.
Thank you, Glenn.
Ray, this is Rod Andrew. Are you referring then to these three numbered points specifically? When you say there's a number of things we need to work on, it's on that wiki. We're talking about those three points: GNSO operations, stakeholder group and constituency operations, and communications. Or are you talking about something more specific?
I think more specific. If we're on the same page, if we page down a little bit, there's a bolded area.
Glenn, can you send the link to everyone? Because I didn't get the link to the wiki till now.
I'll do that, Yoav.
Okay, thank you. Sorry for the interruption.
The bolded process, OSC operations then, is that it, Ray?
That's it. Do you see, does it say right below next meeting? To see the recent notes, click here. Next meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, April 1st, 2009.
No, I'm looking at an older version then. Okay, Julie's has just come through. Thank you, Julie.
Now, you know, we're spending a little bit of time on it, so maybe it is worthwhile looking at how that we... Because I'm going to forget the URL. I'm like anybody else.
Yeah.
So, you know, how do you get here? Well, how do I get here is I go to the gnso.icann.org website, and I get to the Council and New Procedures. From there, that's a wiki page, and what we're called is the GNSO Operations Team. That's what we're called.
Yeah.
So there's the and it gets a little confusing because, you know, there's the Operations Steering Committee.
Yeah.
All right, so... So we're the GNSO operations team. And so there's a link over there that says GNSO Operations Team, and then by clicking on that link is what gets me over to the most updated version of the charter.
It was Coben speaking, so it would be helpful, if I may say that, Glenn, for the future, if you could add to the invitation email just the link.
Okay, I'll do that with pleasure, Wolf.
I think that's an excellent suggestion. Good idea. And if I was thinking, I would have sent around the link before we even started it. So thank you, Glenn, for helping. Okay, so if once we get there, okay, focusing in on progress we've made to date, even though it's not substantial, what we have identified, again, with the help of ICANN staff, which I agree with at my request, was to come up with some what may be considered more priority action items. So I thought that would be a place for us to have a discussion if we all could review what those are today. Yov, do you have anything you would like to discuss if we don't, before doing that, anything involving our purpose, our mission, or anything along those lines? Is there anything you would like to throw out there for discussion, Yov?
Well, there's something that I'm missing here. I did talk about it in our last phone call, and it would be very helpful if the entire group will get an email from someone from the ICANN team of all the relevant links to, I would say, current papers already written, published comments, or whatever things that we should take into consideration when we discuss all these issues, because I'm kind of missing some information here in order to discuss some of these issues, and I know that some of them were discussed in other working groups or by the council or by the board, and it would be very helpful if we can get a set of links with all the information.
As am I, Ray. If there's a reference you made to action items, and I went back through my email list and I can't find anything that's addressed that specifically calls out action items. So I'm going to ask whoever set that out to resend it to myself, and I guess you'll.
Yeah.
Well.
And just be clear, Ken, it wasn't communicated through an email.
Okay.
System was communicated. It's being the wiki of, you know, being a living document, if you will, is being updated.
Okay, I guess my point is the only thing I'm looking at is a website page that says GNSO Operations Team. So,
I
apologize for being somewhat of a nudge because I'm not used to using Wiki. So
right.
you know I'm
right.
I'm in the previous century. I'm still
right.
Using squirrels in round cages to generate electricity and
forth.
So
Mr. VoIP here is previous century. Yeah, sure. But if you page down from that link, Ken, that you're at,
yes,
I think you'll see a bolded area, and it's going to say priority action items. Now, Yo, to address your question. It's a little daunting to say, give me everything that could possibly relate to what we might be talking about.
But
if we talk through some of the items, then I think we can ask, okay, where did that come from, or what's the origination, or what's the source document of that. So, you know, I'm not sure which way to go about it, but, you know, I think it might be helpful to start with this list of priority item action items. First of all, even discuss whether these are priority action items. Okay? And before we even get started on that, I would like to impose on Ken, who has a long history that goes back to the DNSO, to give us his thinking on, you know, the importance or how we get the GNSO Council to this concept of being a manager of policy process versus a legislative body. Ken, can you give a few words on what you might be thinking?
Well, unfortunately, over the last 10 years, there has been an undercurrent of kind of a us versus them type of mentality that has existed in the GNSO. And sadly, originally it started out primarily based on intellectual property rights and so forth, and concerns that related in various constituencies towards that. And it over a period of years, it got more and more bitter. And sadly, that undercurrent is to some extent still there. Another one of the issues that takes months to recover from, and a lot of these we're working towards eliminating. Another one of the issues that takes months to recover from was elections for board members, you know. And there was a methodology that was developed as a result of perceived problems in the previous iteration of the council that was it modified the voting process, and there were some very close elections, and there was a lot of bitter feelings, and sadly, in many cases, personalities tend to manifest themselves in council meetings, and what it boils down to is that people just literally shut off the ability to really take into consideration other people's perspectives. There was always agendas back there, and so I think we have to really work hard when we move forward to realize that we're all trying to move in the same direction and that we need to put a lot of this behind us, number one. Number two is, in the early years, we did not have the resources, and frankly, we're getting closer, but we're still not where we really need to be, and as a result, a massive amount of burden for work was put on Glenn and those people that were available to help support the council. And over the years, the council has raised hell about this, and I think they're starting to get some things done, and I'm seeing more support. The biggest mistake that the council has right now is it's still very difficult for the council to deal in a environment that is more open for immediate change. They need to develop some good conferencing software that allows people to be able to take information onto their laptops or computers while in a real-time basis, and I think you all know exactly what I'm talking about. And ICANN really has not addressed that issue. It needs to be done both from a remote standpoint and also for direct private conferences that are monitored like the council. And the last thing that needs to be done is there needs to be a greater concern on the part of some of the more highly structured constituencies to acknowledge the fact that many constituencies like the ISPs and the some of the other constituencies, it's very difficult for them to meet and deliberate. And there needs to be a little more consideration. I'm still seeing it, and I'm going to use names not because of the names, but because the only way I'll get familiarization real quickly. There are some people like Mike Rodenbaugh that tend to put things in at the 11th hour that are really significantly material, and it creates a certain amount of angst there because there hasn't been enough opportunity to assess the impact of some of these things. And I'm not blaming Mike. That's just maybe Mike's burdened with a lot of things, and he budgets time for this at the 11th hour. But people get very upset about that. It's not fair. And I think we need to be a little bit more considerate of each other in the way they operate it, and we need to provide a framework that doesn't leave people frustrated because they can't get to everything. Yoav's comments at the beginning of this call were very important. and that is that sometimes there is a presumption that everybody has an immediate command of all the technologies, number one, and number two, that everything is sitting there in front of them. When I was on the council, Glenn did a wonderful job when we first arrived at an ICANN meeting of giving us a pamphlet, a brochure, a folder that was filled with information that related directly to relevant actions. We've now taken that folder and put it up on the internet, but we need to make sure that everybody understands how this works. And I think it's also extremely important that we provide for a good system to bring new council members up to speed as quickly as possible. There's one other thing that we need to do, and we're talking about operations here. If I'm going over board, just let me know. We need to ensure that the technologies that are available for participation are non-discriminatory. I used to remember, maybe Glenn, you've gotten a lot of this straightened out, but people like Norbert Klein and people who were remote participants, it was incredibly difficult for them to be able to participate. Some of the things, I think there needs to be more flexibility given to the Secretariat, to Glenn, to be able to, and a much broader budget for her to make decisions. You know, I mean, for God's sake, she's been doing it for almost 10 years now and does a wonderful job. The idea that ICANN couldn't give her a discretionary budget. So if she wants to go out and buy 20 USB thumb drives so she can dump a whole bunch of data on and hand one to each one of the reps when they check in, she ought to be able to do that without going through a Chinese fire drill. I think ICANN has to realize that they need to be a little bit more fluid in the way that they support the council. That's, to me, those are the things that were really frustrating as a council member, you know.
Well, thank you, Ken. This is Ray. Actually, that's exactly what I was kind of looking for, given your background and experience.
Well, I don't know whether Tony Holmes is on here on the call, because Tony's been around for a long, long time as well. And, I think he could also give some additional perspective there as well.
Okay. Because if are we all at the wiki page now?
I'm not really sure. I can give you the URL. Okay. Glenn sent me a link. Oh, yeah. The top of the page says GNSO Operations Team, but I cannot find a hot link to priority action items.
Let me ask it differently. Can everybody who is at the link page down on that link and see if there's a bolded area that says priority action items?
Yes, it is. Yes.
I see a bolded area, but okay. Not a hot link.
Okay. Now, Julie, here's a suggestion for you. Let's move that section that we call priority action. Are you planning on keeping the priority action items as a part of the web of this wiki, Julie?
Yeah, it can be on this wiki page or it can be a separate page.
I think we should just move it up because we call it priority.
It's part of the charter. So the way it stands right now is the way it is, the way it is listed in the charter. So while I can't, unless we edit the charter to.
Yeah, I understand, Julie. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
What we can do, however, is we can take these priority action items and put them into a table, and we can have a link, as Ken mentioned, a hot link to that table, which could be a separate wiki page, that we can then just look at those items.
Okay.
Right now, there is a link to a table, which if you look at priority action items, number one, number two, ICANN board recommendations, and then right underneath that it says COSC GNSO Operations Team Draft Checklist Table. That is a link to a table which has these action items in it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ron Andrew. If I may, we're spending a lot of time talking about where we put documents. Let's move on. I think this is very important. When I'm reviewing these board recommendations, suggested projects, what I'm seeing, if I may, Ken and Ray, is there are some very difficult tasks here. The first two are difficult enough. Statements of interest and declaration of interest is a very easy one that we might just get knocked off the list as quickly as we can. But when you start to look at things like develop curriculum for training, prepare clear rules for new constituencies, recommend methods of introducing new constituencies, these are very serious tasks to be undertaken.
Right.
So where the documents are wound, I think we just have to get up to speed. A wiki is a wiki. We scroll down, find where we're working, and get on with it. But
Ron,
it's
yep.
critical that we get after these things because they're very serious topics, and I'm not quite sure our little group here is prepared, is capable of developing quick curriculums for training, for example.
Right. Ron, I totally agree with you. You know, we have to do a little bit of housekeeping so everybody can be looking at the same documents, but I agree 100% with everything you said.
Okay.
So now that some basic housekeeping has been done, and I want to go back to some of the things Ken was sharing with us, I think are important, because when we look at the priority items, I want to focus in here. Again, if you look at it, there's a bullet point that says determine what steps are needed to establish the role of the council as a strategic manner of policy process, and right below that, there is create a set of operating principles. Okay, so Ken just went off and explained a lot of the issues that have gone on over the years with the council and the old DNSO. And what I would like to try and get to and understand it, that our role here is really to sort of stay high level, is what are a set of operating principles that we can put together and discuss to allow, to enable the council to move towards this goal, this rather intangible goal, if you will, of being a strategic manager of the policy process. So I was wondering if anybody have any suggestions of what could be an operating principle, for example. Now, to Ron's point, he's exactly correct. We could look at the statement of interest and come up with what these documents should say. Meanwhile, you go off into some of these other areas, such as the standing committees. I think that becomes very difficult. But so it's all on how we want to prioritize. So we have a list of priority items, and then within this list of priority items, there are items that are more difficult than others. But I don't think that tackling a set of operating principles is overly difficult for us to do. So I'm choosing to sort of pick that as a place to start and discuss, you know, what could be a set of high-level operating principles that we can start to put together and frame where we're heading. Is everybody in agreement with that approach?
May I ask a question? Wolf Knobin speaking.
Right.
I just went through very briefly through the priority action items, you have been working on that already and put up that list. I'm wondering, you know, when I look back to the upper text, there was also some items included, and I wonder where they are, or are they still valid or not under priority? For example, there was an item, prepare clear rules for the establishment of new constituencies within stakeholder groups. That was an item put on the upper text. So I wonder, is that still an item which this group is dealing with, or is it not? Because it seems to me this item is also would have a rank of priority as well, because there are new constituencies knocking the door, and we have to establish some rules. So this my question is. Is that an item for the group still or not? Maybe Rob could tell us something about that.
This is Ray. Yes, I think that's a good suggestion. We talked about this briefly in the last call. Rob, could you provide a background on that?
I will certainly try. Thank you, Wolf Novin. The issue I think that you have is the GNSO Council Operations Team does involve the relationship between the council and the constituency, and the broader issue of providing operational rules of procedure for how those new constituencies are brought into the fold. Obviously, the bylaws create a mechanism right now for approval of those new constituencies by the board, you know, the petition process and the review that the board makes. But there is a subset of issues, arguably, that this group would need to address, which talks about how those constituencies relate to the council and how they operate within that structure. Now, you know, I don't recommend immediately tackling that, although Wolf notes that there are a number of new constituencies potentially knocking at the door. That's a broader issue that I think that the council or the steering committee would need to give this team advice on in terms of coordinating that effort, because it's obviously, given some of the discussions that have taken place over the last several days about some of the bylaw provisions that are going to need to be developed, a lot of those decisions are likely to take place much sooner than this work team will get to the issue. So my suggestion is that there will be elements of constituency involvement and work with the council, and how those interrelate should certainly be on the checklist for discussions at the steering committee level, but it probably isn't one that you guys want to try to tackle immediately, just because there are going to be decisions made by other bodies that will affect that work down the road.
Ray?
Yes, please.
Yeah, getting back to one thing that Ron was emphasizing as I'm sitting here looking through the list of various things, I think that what we could do, I'm not trying to distract, but rather to enhance here, to make our next meeting more productive for ourselves, is there's specific references in these various action items. For instance, the forms, the standardized format for forms and so forth that are required for board members. If there are current standards that are being referred to here, we should get that information. Statements of interest. The board has developed a clear statement of interest policy and forms and statements of interest. It would be easy if we got those forms, sent them out to the board members, and if we buy into them, we could knock that out almost right away. Anything like that. There, I know for a fact that there, Glenn had a developed a primer for new council members, and maybe what we could do is take information that's been accumulated over a period of time here to enhance and educate new council members. Let's look at these various items to see how we can get those out to the members, give the members of this committee an opportunity to review them, and maybe we can sign off and get some of this stuff knocked off relatively quickly so we can focus on the high-level stuff in the future.
Fair enough.
Ray, it's Ron.
Yes. This is exactly what I meant in my previous, what I said before.
Sure. That's a good example of that, Yost. Thanks.
Ron here. It seems to me that, Rob, coming back to your comments, there was a document that Denise Michelle had prepared regarding new constituencies. So following along the same line of what Ken just mentioned, there already is some drafts out there regarding statement of interest, declaration of interest, and we should probably just nail that down with one term rather than two. But there seems to be something circulating. We all submitted a declaration of interest, so I'm not sure that we couldn't just refine that document or review that document and see if it needs any refinement. And then Denise Michelle had put forward, if I'm not mistaken, something along the lines of new constituencies and how they would form. So I'm not sure if we're developing these things or just doing a review of these things to see if there's anything that needs to be added. Am I correct there or incorrect? Rob?
Ron, this is Rob. I believe it's a combination of all those. You know, a lot of preliminary work has been done by staff, and now may be a good time to clarify sort of the staff role versus your role. We are here to assist, to support, to provide background and anything you guys need as you develop this work. So please throw that burden on us as much as possible. But anything that we are generating or providing for your review is merely in the spirit of recommendations or suggestions. Let's make the decisions you all do, and you make those recommendations at the steering committee, and then ultimately the council will review and rule on. So I just wanted to confirm that general overview. In terms of the constituency process, as I noted just a little bit earlier, there is a bylaw process. It's not very specific. The board, in approving or endorsing the BGC recommendations for GNSO improvements, instructed staff in the short term to put together a process by which new constituencies could come forward, announce their intentions, and ultimately petition the board. at the appropriate point in time, it's certainly a potential jurisdictional item for you guys to review that process, to say, gee, do we think that works? Do we have recommendations or suggestions how that might be reviewed or changed or modified? So again, as I said earlier, I think it needs to be on your checklist. It'll be incumbent upon you all in establishing your priorities, whether you get to that first, second, tenth, you know, wherever it fits in appropriately in the process. My sense is, based upon comments that Chuck Gomes made in the last call in his capacity as chairman of the OSC, the general sense from the steering committee level was that, you know, the operating rules and procedures were the best place to start and perhaps the best framework for tackling some of the issues that you'll all be dealing with. But that's ultimately something that, as we get more documents together, as Yov has asked for, it'll help you guys, I think, not only identify what the list is, but then prioritize those action items. And if I can suggest, one way to approach it may be to have certain work team volunteers step forward and say, hey, I'm willing to take an attempt at the straw man for this. I want staff to be the straw man for that. You know, basically dividing and conquering some of these issues so you don't all feel like you have to address them consecutively, but that a number of efforts can be going in parallel.
Ray?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think, as I said here, and look at this thing, one of the things we should try to do here as a takeaway is to stratify these items to find out which, for instance, some of these are incredibly esoteric. Begin a constructive dialogue with a broad range of Internet stakeholders. That is incredibly esoteric and something that needs to be very carefully thought out, and it's not something we're going to get done in one day. There are certain things that have, you know, in terms of stratifying those that can be done easily and put away quickly so that we can concentrate, and let's decide if we need additional resources, such as this constructive dialogue thing. We may need to sit down with staff and say, you know, exactly what the hell do they mean by a constructive dialogue? What constitutes that? How much planning do we need to do? Do we start initiating a dialogue like this at a major ICANN meeting like Sydney or something like this? And if so, we need to plan for that because those things need to be done 6-8 weeks out, you know. And I think if we stratify these various action items, it will help us get a better idea on what we can tackle and accomplish in a reasonable time period, what takes additional resources, and what items we may even need additional clarification from, either from board members through staff or something along that line.
Yes, I think that's a good point, Ken. And as I've looked at these priority items myself, I really looked at that middle one there as one that, if I had to rank...
Which middle one, Ray?
It says, define and develop scope and responsibilities of any other standing committees, analyze trends, begin constructive dialogue, establish committees of 4 to 5 members. Now, while that is in this priority action item list, you know, I would probably drop that down in terms of how we look at this whole list of priority items and decide which ones we attack. We've already... We spent some time saying that the statement of interest and declaration of interest forms could be where the low-hanging fruit is. I've tried to identify that creating a set of high-level operating principles could be a place of low-hanging fruit for us to start putting together some deliverables. I wouldn't look at that middle one, which is develop and define scope and responsibilities, as what we can do right away. You know, that's not the place I would start, if that makes sense. And I think I'm agreeing with Ken, with what Ken's saying.
I think we're all in agreement. You know, the statement of interest is easy. That's one that we all had to fill out one to get here, so that's something we could look at, define, and put to bed.
Right, it's easy to a degree. Now, I can come up with a couple questions. First of all, someone explain to me the difference of a statement of interest and a declaration of interest. You know, Ron mentioned collapse the two. I'm thinking, well, there must be a reason why there's two different ways of saying it. Are these two different forms?
Ray, this is Julie. That was the wording that was used in the BGC report that the board had accepted as a, you know, as a recommendation. The report, which is linked on the wiki, talked about two separate documents. But I think that the team could discuss whether or not there needs to be two documents or one that accomplishes, you know, what we're trying to do.
Okay, let's focus in on that for a minute, if nobody minds. Is, for the reasons Ron said earlier, should we just collapse this into one or the other so we're talking, everybody knows that we're talking about the same thing, whether we want to call it a declaration of interest or a statement of interest, let's get rid of one or the other?
There is a difference.
Okay,
I'm on the board of a couple of organizations.
Okay.
My understanding, a statement of interest is something that's provided prior to commencement of an activity. The declaration of interest is normally made at the time of a vote, and it implies that there is an interest and an action that's being considered by an entity. So I might say, I am abstaining from this vote because I am an applicant for a new TLD or something along this line. But, you know, a statement of interest is something that the board members all have to fill out prior, and then the declaration would explain why they're doing an action specifically, if there's an interest, if they have an interest in the action.
Knowing what you know, Ken, would you see that we could not? Would you suggest that we maintain it that way, or would you consider the fact that we could try to create a terminology that goes forward from here?
Well, I think it's important that, based on what's happened in the past, Ron, there needs to be a need for a declaration of an interest if somebody stands to have a material benefit from an action. So I think that there needs to be an allowance in the process, in the council process, for declarations of interest as opposed, and I think it could be done very, very simply. We could use the board guidelines, because the board guidelines have been vetted by Jones Day and all those people, you know, and if they're too complicated, then we can ask the staff to dumb it down to a level that makes sense, because we don't have the liabilities a board member might have.
I was about to just say that. Chair, if I could put forward a recommendation that our support staff write up a statement of interest and declaration of interest definition, one of each, so that we can now move forward and say that we've given some framework to that. I agree with what Ken has said 100%, that in a vote, a declaration is very critical, so people know exactly where people stand, and everyone has to declare their interest every time they stand at a public microphone, every time they join a committee. So the statement of interest part is very clear, and the declaration of interest could be very clear as well, if we can instruct staff to come up with a very clean and simple text so we can move forward with that item.
Does anybody want to second that?
Yes. Well, it's worth speaking. So if you go down the text, you know, there is also, it is outlined there, a statement, the difference between statement of interest and declaration of interest. And declaration of interest means more specific matters under discussion. What Ken was saying as well. And we should take it as it is here.
Okay. If I understand Ron's motion correctly, he would like to see staff prepare a definition of the statement of interest and a definition of a declaration of interest in the context of what their purposes are.
That's right, so that we can go forward and say these are documents we recommend as a committee going forward.
Should I add to that recommendation an existing example of something used in the ICANN framework now for both purposes, such as at the board level?
Well, I think what Ken was suggesting is they could look at what that is, but the board, as he mentioned, there's no liability issues here, but it really is important that each person within the community declare their interest before they speak so that everyone understands where they're coming from. But because there's no liability, it doesn't have to be a board one, an ICANN board existing document. I think it could be something very simple.
I would task staff with developing those two guidelines and any related forms. Because, you know.
Okay, let me ask staff if they would be willing to provide the definitions as we asked and for the forms. Would they be willing to supply those to us for review?
Yes, Ray, this is Julie. I'll be happy to do that. And I could supply, as an example, for the statement of interest, the series, the question form that all of you filled out before you joined these committees, if that would be a useful starting point for the statement of interest.
Is that, I'll ask Glenn a simple question, or you, Julie, and that is the statement of interest that you asked us for consistent in requests to the statement of interest that's currently required for named council members?
Ken, I don't know the answer to that. Glenn, do you know?
Yes, Ken, this is Glenn. The statement of interest required for named council members is slightly longer and has not been put into any template form, because up to now there has not been a decision on what that template should look like.
Okay.
So
and
you
and
will
then,
find
Glenn,
on the...
If I may pick up on that, Glenn, is that something we should that we should be defining here or working towards defining that template?
That would probably be a very good idea, because it has been discussed for a very long time that there should be a template and that there should be a standardized form of statements of interest. You will see the ones that are up on the website for all council members currently. Some are three or four lines, and others reach into a page and a half.
Well, that is exactly, Chair, that's exactly what I was requesting, really, definitions of these things and sort of laying out what the form should look like. So maybe we can expand the task for the staff to actually come back to us with a form that rationalizes the two that are out there now, gives some kind of sense for us to move forward.
Not only that, I think it works out very well for Glenn. It sets a tone and it makes it much clearer that participating has certain responsibilities that go with it, and that's exactly what we're trying to develop here in terms of these guidelines.
So if I understand correctly, we would like Julie to look at what the names council members have to fill out now, or however it is they communicate, and peel it back or make additions, and then recommend to us what that might look like moving forward. Am I understanding
both,
you correctly?
Both for the statement of interest and then the declaration of interest. So look at existing
documents at what they're doing now,
and try to we'll rationalize those, and that will be our first order of business.
Okay, so the starting point is what they're doing now. Staff will review those, make recommendations of edits to those for us to discuss.
Exactly.
And then we will then, from there, once we come up with what this document may look like, we will then come up with how this document gets assimilated out to the members in the future, whether it's online, real time, whatever these recommendations are that pertain to this that came from the BGC, where there are suggestions such as form should be real time, updated, similar to what is required for members of the board, etc. So I think there's two sides of the coin here. First of all, what is the purpose of the form? B, what does the form look like? And then C, how does it get assimilated out there in a standardized format, if you will? Assuming we want to do a standardized format, but I'll make that assumption for now.
Agreed.
Julie, any comment on that concept?
No, that sounds great. I'll take that on as my action item.
Mr. Chair, this is Rob. If I can make one comment.
Yes, please, Rob.
I would incorporate into your last category there sort of, you know, not only how it gets assimilated, but we'll also take a stab at then how is it utilized going forward. You know, I think some of the community have expressed concerns that people throw something over the transom, it's never really considered or addressed again, and a lot of that will be handled with a standard form, but we also may want to make a shot at some straw man suggestions as to how things are enforced going forward as well.
So if I understand that concern correctly, people may fill out the form, but no one bothers to, but there's not a mechanism in place to come back and check for completeness, but perhaps ask additional questions of what might be being referred to in the document. Is that what you're referring to, Rob?
Yes, and then, you know, ultimately, while Avery is very good as the chair of the GNSO for, you know, asking for updates, you know, it's just a general process, and you guys will discuss, and your ultimate recommendation to the steering committee and the council will be everything you've talked about. So I think you've all set it up very nicely, and then it's just a matter of talking about then actually how it's implemented.
Okay. Chair, it's
yes.
Ron?
Yes.
So, Rob, I think that's a very, very important point. And if I understand what you've said, Avery actually makes that call from time to time. So maybe we might look at this from the point of view of saying that the chair of any meeting, that when they begin the meeting, they will take a roll call. Then they will ask if there is any change or declarations of interest to be made with regard to the topic, so that people go on record right from the get-go. Because things are always in flux. You know, what I may have put in my statement of interest today might change 6 months from now. So I think that would be a good point of order for the chairs of committees to be asking right after roll call if there's any change of your statements of interest of this committee or any declarations that need to be made.
Okay, good point, Ron. Thanks. Now let's talk about time deliverables here. Well, we have our next call in 2 weeks. Is it reasonable to say that as far as completion on this particular bullet point, we will have a document, we will have the purpose, and what we will be discussing is really completing this step, if you will, in 2 weeks, the completion of this step. Does that sound fair and reasonable?
Would it be possible for staff to circulate something, let's say, within the next week to 10 days so that we can review that, so when we get on the call, we can, rather than seeing it for the first time, we can actually... make those determinations.
This is Julie. I certainly could do that, and I totally agree. That would be most useful.
Now I want to qualify here because we're, you know, as much as it's Julie's role here to assist us and do these things, it's not going to be helpful if we aren't offering input. So when Julie sends something out and says, "Okay, here's my first rendition of this for you guys," we can communicate via email. You know, we don't have to wait for the phone call to go through the finer points. So I'm asking, you know, as the chair, that we, when we get input back from the people we asked to do this, being Julie in this case, that we have it, you know, that we make the time. I know we all are pressed for time, but I'm just stressing that we spend the time to look at it, review it. If we have comments, if we like it, just say we like it. That's helpful communication.
Agreed.
Okay, Julie, with that said, please go ahead and put some time into that, okay?
Will do.
Okay. Okay, now I'm going to ask another request, and I'm going to double back to the other one that I think is rather low-bearing fruit, and I've gone down this path a couple times, is we need to set, and if we can recall what Ken was all saying earlier, which is the experience he brings to this, and of course Tony as well, but he's not on the call today, high-level operating principles. A high-level operating principle that basically all associations or organizations have of how the council is to act, if you will, or follow or keep in mind as they're moving along in the nitty-gritty of their day-to-day duties as council members. So I would ask that we consider what could be a set of high-level operating principles. I would encourage looking at ICANN's bylaws. I don't know. I don't believe ICANN itself. I'm not sure if they have a set of operating principles. You know, ICANN, you know, the entity, if you will. But there are many organizations out there, like-kind organizations, that have operating principles. But we need, you know, but they're tailored to what their purpose and mission is of their own organization. So, you know, I would recommend that we start to think about what these high-level operating principles can be towards the goal of the council becoming a strategic manager of the policy process. You know, I was trying to take some notes as Ken was talking, but, you know, support and encourage remote participation. Now that is a, you know, could be a high-level operating principle for us to, you know, to put into this, into our approach. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, we would be happy as staff to take on the role if over the next week or so work team members wanted to just write out email messages saying, here are some principles I think that we should consider. We could then collect all of them and put them into a format for your next meeting so you'd have, you know, the list of 5, 15, 25 that you could then sort of edit or work through. Is that, if you think that would be helpful?
Rob, that's exactly what I was thinking. And it would be very helpful for our next call in 2 weeks if we were hitting the ground running with 5, 10, 15 that have actually even been discussed on a list even. to some degree. I think these two, you don't have to come up with five, come up with one. And then we can discuss why, you know, that is a good operating principle or not a good operating principle. Or I don't think there are any wrong answers, by the way, to this. Now, but with all that said, you know, I'm going to look over here at Ken, okay, and say, hey, Ken, you've been through this. How long now? You're able to identify granular issues. Go one step removed now and help me with understanding what could be some high-level principles, operating principles, for this council to, to have as a guide. And towards the goal of being a manager of the process rather than the legislative body. You know, you mentioned, Ken, put the old behind us. Let's start new. We've had, infights in the past. How do we avoid that in the future? What high-level principle addresses that thinking? Does that make sense, Ken?
Yes, it does. I'm sorry. I was on mute, Ray.
No, that's okay.
It does.
But I am. I'm kind of leaning on you a little bit here because of your background and experiences. I don't need you to come up with 10 or 15. Come up with one. Come up with three. Ones that you think, are consistent to the goals of why we're here. and that future members of the council will look back and say, boy, I'm glad somebody did that, came up with this for us as a guide. And I think you're just, unfortunately for you, I think you're a person that can really help us out with this one.
I'll be happy to. The only thing I would ask you to do would be, I heard what you said, but I'd like a little more clarity in terms of,
I'll draft it.
Yeah, just,
I'll draft it for everybody.
Something along that line, it would really be helpful. Okay. And please understand a couple of things. I will use examples, as I did with Mike, not to point fingers at anybody, but to point out issues that the public or the community may have been aware of that may have been created by weaknesses in either the structure or the way that the council, the operations, or whatever it was. I've seen this happen before, and we've had terrible problems with communications that were greatly related to issues like this. And there have been some people, like, for instance, Marilyn Kate, who suffered badly for it, and yet she was doing what she thought was best. And it's just that sometimes they didn't give her clear enough guidelines, or they didn't require everybody else to do it, whatever it may be. And I think it's extremely important. It makes it easier for me, to point out and to use examples, but you have to understand how I use examples is not meant in any way whatsoever to disparage anyone, but rather sometimes I will disparage a situation that occurred because of a weakness in the operations of the council as it currently.
Exactly, and as you were describing that example, mentioning Mike in that example, and I understand exactly context, not derogatory, just showing as a real life example. What I took from that was a high level principle of try to attempt to delegate. Don't introduce the work at the council level. Delegate down to the working groups. Delegate to it. Be sure, always be mindful of delegating the work down to the working groups. That sort of approach. And then accountability at the working group level, that if something is introduced at the, at the last minute, and make sure everybody's in the communication process to understand it at that level before it ever gets to the council level. That was my takeaway. So I know you have it all up there. We just need to draw it out of you. That makes sense.
Yeah, I guess that's the case. And I will use this one more example, and I'm going to shut up because sometimes I talk too much and somebody has to slap me down, and Ron, don't be afraid to do it. If you look at the traffic on the names council list, in the last 2 weeks, there has been more traffic on the names council list that relates to travel subsidies than there was traffic on the names council list during some of the major decisions that were being made on new TLDs. That's scary.
Mm-hmm.
That's really scary.
Right.
And you wonder, wait a minute. First of all, what's important? And everybody immediately thinks, that's the only thing the council is thinking about. And I'd say, no, that wasn't the case. In the other processes prior to this, there have been situations where there was not as much of an opportunity for a public engagement on LIFF because either they didn't have the resources available to them, or it was because of the short staffing in ICANN's case. When the working groups were done, the ones Bruce chaired and the, you know, the old December 06, 07 type things, the work that was necessary to get to the council members came in at the 11th hour, so they, too much was done sometimes early on teleconferences, you know.
Yes. Well, let me make a suggestion here. Let's see if the group agrees. When in 2 weeks we want to hit the ground running on two action items. One of them is the templates for the statement of interest and the declaration of interest, as we discussed on this call. Hit the ground running almost to the point where we look to complete that step, hopefully in 2 weeks, with the input Julie's going to help us with. The other one is going to be to hit the ground running on our call next in 2 weeks on what can constitute as a good set of operating, high-level operating principles. Is this a fair and reasonable approach?
Agreed.
Yes.
Okay, and then after the call in 2 weeks, you know, where that call will be taken up by these, primarily by these two subject items, it won't be until after that call that we start to look at this third priority item and really start to vet it out. That has to do with define and develop scope and responsibilities, analyze trends, begin constructive dialogue with broad range constituencies, etc. Are we agreed on that point?
Let me ask one question, Chair. Ron Andrew speaking. With regard to the other charter goals, were these three initial goals then the prioritized as being the most important three to get started, and then we'll address those others? Or because there are six charter goals. We're talking about three here. Can you please shed some light on that?
It's a good question, Ron, and Julie can correct me where I'm wrong, and Rob, but we had a call last week, and trying to get our hands around a starting point, we came up with what to look at to potentially prioritize, and then I asked staff to Julie to compile that based on what we talked about last week. Now, did we address it all correctly last week? I'm not sure. But this is what popped out of that.
That's fine. No, from my point of view, I just want a clarification. And I'm in agreement that the three you've identified are...
But you've raised a great point, because perhaps, you know, there are others in the, you know, in the charter that we should maybe move up ahead of what we have in there now. So it's a great point, Ron.
Well, as I say, I concur with what you the ones you selected. And I agree with the process you've just described. Knock off these firstly clear the one of declaration statement, absolutely. Hopefully we'll shape the second one that we've just discussed, and then we can finish up the next call by selecting what our next activity item is. I think that's a good way to chip away at it from my point of view.
And I know that, again, I want to stress, I know we're all busy and et cetera, but it's only going to work if we take the time, you know, our own volunteer time on list in between the calls, to get the bulk of the work done, and then clarify, then use the voice, the verbal approach, the real-time verbal approach, to clarify. If we're vetting during the calls, you know, entirely relying on that, these calls are not going to be productive, as productive as they otherwise could be. And then meanwhile, we're not utilizing the resource that the staff is giving us to the best of our ability as well. So we have to make the commitment to get on the list. Get on. You know, there are, as me running the chair of this, there are no bad things. Nothing wrong could possibly be said. It can only be good. So I'm asking for that commitment from the group.
Agreed.
Okay. With that, I think I would like to adjourn the call unless there are any other issues.
What is the date and time for the next call?
Glenn, could you on that one?
Yes, the date and time for the next call will be the 15th of April. We are missing the week of the 8th because it's the Passover, and we're going to the 15th of April, and then calls will be every 2 weeks. So after that, the next call will be on the 29th of April. But before each call, you will be sent out a notice, as you have been for this one. And I will also include the wiki references.
And then, if I may, in terms of the call time, it will remain the same. Is that correct?
The call time will remain the same. It is at 15 UTC, which works out at this time for all of you wherever you are.
Very good. Very good. I would make a comment, and that is it's going to be hard to get me out of the depressive funk I will be in on April the 15th, as that is our tax day in the United States.
Right.
Shouldn't be so bad, Ken.
We'll have ICANN send over a bottle of scotch, Ken. That'll
yes, exactly.
Now, well, what we'll do is we'll have Sarkozy come over and organize one of these protests or walkouts, because that's what's going to happen in London today or tomorrow, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Very okay. Good. Well, I think we had a positive call today. Again, I want to stress, going whether we like the wiki or not like the wiki, that's what we have right now. Let's use that. Get familiar with it. What's our page? That'll help us in these calls efficiency-wise. Let's use email to our advantage. Let's use staff to our advantage. So with that said, your cooperation is appreciated, very much appreciated, and I think we can adjourn this call and look forward to talking on the 15th.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.